Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I'm Not Crazy podcast. Cameron Jones here along with
Nicole.
We're coming back to you, and I wanted to maybe get some terminology in a topic that comes up a lot in different things. So have you heard of ley lines?
No.
I know I did talk about it a little bit earlier this week, but to give a bit of an overview, ley lines are straight alignments drawn between various historic structures and prominent landmarks. The idea was developed in the early 20th century Europe, with ley line believers arguing that these alignments were recognized by ancient societies that deliberately erected these structures along them. So it's essentially saying that it kind of goes into the belief that all these ancient structures were put into very specific places geographically.
Okay.
Which that does come up in a lot of other things, but we're going to find out that this is a little bit of pseudoscience. Ley lines crisscross around the globe like latitude and longitude lines that are dotted with monuments and natural landforms, and it is theorized that they carry rivers of supernatural energy. It is further believed that at these places they intersect, there are pockets of concentrated energy that can be harnessed.
Okay.
So some claim that ley lines carry, you know, the powerful magnetic field, while others say that it holds a psychic power. Still, others are pretty sure that somehow ley lines are associated with UFO landings and maybe being marking spots, or that they have healing properties found in these vortexes where these ley lines meet.
Okay.
So there's a wide range of ideas theorized and like associated with ley lines, but they all believe that these lines and sites possess some sort of power. That's the key to the entire belief.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
I wish there was a camera because I'm like trying to process this. I'm like,
so essentially okay. Things like Stonehenge and like the Great Pyramids, some guy drew a straight line. And that's a ley line. And then mm-hmm. He just drew all these lines connecting all these ancient structures.
Okay.
So we're going to find out there's a little bit of a problem with that because you can make a pattern out of anything. That doesn't mean shit. He just drew a bunch of lines.
Mm-hmm.
So the founder, the idea of leys as straight tracks across the landscape was first put forward by English antiquarian Alfred Watkins in the 1920s, particularly in his book, The Old Straight Track. He noticed that ancient sites around the world fell into a sort of alignment. Some of these places were man-made, while others are natural formations, but they all fell into a pattern, mostly a straight line. Watkins coined these lines, ley lines, and in doing so, opened up the world of supernatural belief.
Do you have a doodle of this?
What, of ley lines?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can look at a picture. It's essentially just like...
I just want to see the pattern.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not much of a pattern as much as like it's literally lines.
Then why is he lying? Well, you said they all there's a pattern.
He noticed that a lot of ancient structures just line up in a row. Like if he drew one pattern from here and the line kept going, it's like, oh, well, across the globe, there's another one on this exact same line.
Okay.
Ley lines. Watkins backed up the existence of his ley lines by pointing out that many monuments around the globe can seemingly be connected by a straight line. For example, stretching from the southern tip of Ireland all the way to Israel, there's a straight line that connects seven different landforms that bear the name Michael or some form of it.
Okay.
Although Watkins gained a small following, his ideas were never accepted by the British archaeological establishment, a fact that frustrated him. His critics noted that his ideas relied on drawing lines between sites established at different periods of the past. They also argued that it was impractical to travel in a straight line through these hills and mountains, making it unlikely that these were trade routes or any like recognized actual pathway.
Right.
UFOs.
Oh my God.
In 1961, Tony Webb proposed that leys were established by prehistoric communities to guide alien spacecraft. We're there already. This view is promoted to a wider audience in the books of John Mitchell, particularly his 1969 work, The View Over Atlantis. Mitchell's publications were accompanied by the launch of the Ley Hunter magazine and the appearance of a ley hunter community eager to identify ley lines across Britain. Ley hunters often combine their search for ley lines with other esoteric practices, like dowsing rods and numerology, and with the belief that the forthcoming age of Aquarius that would transform human society. So they're a little kooky.
Just a teeny bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially saying most of the people that believe in this also have other weird spiritual beliefs. In conclusion, ley lines don't seem very solid. They're it's just like...
I thought there was going to be more to this.
There will be. Okay. But ley lines themselves, it's a concept by this guy, but it doesn't hold water. He's just drawing straight lines. It is interesting, but we're going to now maybe look into different reasons why they might be on some locations.
Okay.
So ancient site alignments. Just because this one theory is a little off doesn't mean that there aren't other significant locations in positioning of ancient structures around the world. I'm sure you've heard of things such as like the pyramids and other structures aligning with constellations or marking the solstice and the equinox, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the interesting thing that I do kind of like with this, and it does maybe kind of connect to the ley lines. The lines themselves are whatever, but the points where these structures are at could be interesting. So we're going to take just a briefer look at some of these megalithic ancient structures just to show. So Stonehenge in England and Wiltshire. Mm-hmm. I mean, we obviously know what that one is, but it has relation to the sun marking the solstice. Machu Picchu in Peru, similar kind of thing. There's a giant stone on top of the sacred mountain. And at one time of year during the equinox, the shadow will disappear because it'll be directly above that stone.
Okay.
Chichen Itza, Mexico, same thing. The sunlight goes down through a doorway, making it look like a serpent going down the stairs on the equinox.
Okay.
Ireland. Okay, there's a bunch of these. The Great Sphinx and the Pyramid, they're all facing direct north. Also, there's a point where the sun, you know, makes it same kind of stuff. So all these places do seem to have some sort of positioning that marks with celestial kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. So energies. Why did the ancient people spend so much time, energy, and resources building these structures? Was it for spiritual reasons?
Yeah.
Or for more complex functionality?
I don't think so.
There are a few characteristics and commonalities to consider with these ancient structures. One, earth location and the ground properties.
Mm-hmm.
The geometry of the building and the building materials.
Okay.
The relationship to celestial bodies and astronomical events.
Mm-hmm.
So the earth location and ground properties. The placement of these monuments has been proven by many studies not to be random, but extremely researched and located and precise. Monuments seem to always be placed on what we call geophysical anomalies, places where the following take place: an intense change in the magnetic and gravitational fields, the change in radioactivity levels, a conductivity discontinuity of the ground material, and the presence of fault or underground water.
Okay.
The concentration of natural geomagnetic and electrical fluctuations is the most basic characteristic of ancient monuments and temples. So why were these temples located on power locations? Was it by coincidence? Was it for spiritual reasons? Or for other power harnessing reasons?
Power.
We are going to get an episode on him eventually, but Nikola Tesla writes, the earth is found to be alive with electrical vibrations. The Radcliffe Tower he created was an energy generator that would not function if it did not grip the earth, as he put it. Were ancient temples transmitters of standing electric waves? This is also a theory that comes up on the History Channel with shows like Ancient Aliens.
I was literally going to say this sounds like History, like
yep,
History
my
Channel.
Favorite. The idea being that these ancient structures were power plants generating power to advanced societies or possibly transmitting to motherships, you know, some sort of alien overlord situation.
You sound like an ancient, what do they call it? Astronaut theorist or something like
but
that?
But could it be?
Yeah.
The strength will depend on the ground's conductivity. Ground with higher mineral contact will usually have stronger currents. What the ground's made of, where it's at. The geometry of the building and the materials. In order for the building to transmit this energy, it has to be built as a resonant cavity.
Mm-hmm.
In order to make it as efficient as possible, specific proportions and shapes known as sacred geometry were incorporated.
Okay.
Brian Desborough writes in They Cast No Shadows, sacred geometry was incorporated into the design of all buildings that enabled them to function as resonant cavities. The incorporation of these geometries into ancient temples to function as coupled harmonic oscillators.
Coupled harmonic oscillators?
Yes.
Okay.
A significant case study found alleviating symptoms on residents' health from a mobile antenna placed inside an old church in Hamburg, Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
by the use of specific geometries. As the churches were also placed in energy spots, the architecture of the building was designed to amplify the energy throughout its geometry and materials. It also amplifies the energy emission of the antenna. So that was a long-winded thing that I copied poorly from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, it's saying that many churches were also built on these spots. And like the ringing of bells was supposed to vibrate, become resonant cavities throughout these to like also increase the energies and the properties of this.
All about power.
It's all about power, baby. So the relationship to celestial bodies and astronomical events. The electric currents are intensified at specific times and dates due to the effect of celestial bodies such as the sun. The geomagnetic field fluctuates according to the daily solar movement and solar winds. It also varies according to the lunar day and the yearly solar orientation. The reasons that certain planetary patterns create fields when certain types of events can take place. The idea of like all the planets kind of being aligned kind of thing. So, what are the effects that these powers could have on people, animal, plants? It has been shown that low levels of stress and short exposure time can be extremely healing. Various electromagnetic therapies, low radiation treatments, hot-cold exposure are all based on this principle. Short-term, low-dose stress can increase the number of mitochondria per cell, whereas long-term stress of the same source can be extremely damaging and induce chronic disease. The same principle has been used by John Burt and others after him to pre-treat seeds with short-term electromagnetic stress and have results in stronger and higher-yielding plants. So the idea being it could be kind of the same for us. Essentially, there could be health factors. It could be like a nice reset. Maybe like cats purring, you know, because they vibrate to help the body somehow. This could be our version.
Chronic stress.
The work of Dr. Dieter Oschkoff proved that the effect of geophysical anomalies on people through the use of electromagnetic blood test. He found that these anomalies caused the blood field oscillation polarity to invert. In a research experiment done on more than 800 people called the Vienna Report, a group of 20 scientists found significant results on people exposed to geophysical anomaly. There were significant changes in serotonin, zinc, and calcium levels. So you might be asking, if all these places are on, you know, energy locations, why aren't they producing energy now?
Yeah. Someone's harnessing all that power for
shifting poles. Yep. So a new model to explain the ancient alignments and why they're not working now. In a previous study of over 200 ancient sites, the alignments of almost half of the sites could not be explained. These sites are distributed throughout the world and include the majority of the Mesoamerican pyramids and temples that are misaligned with respect to true north. So you know that a lot of these are on north, but a new model is proposed to account for the off alignment. Charles Hapgood's hypothesis that global patterns of climate change over the past 100,000 years could be the result of displacement of the Earth's crust and corresponding shifts to geographic poles. It is shown that over 80% of the unexplained sites reference four locations within 30% of the North Pole that are correlated with Hapgood's hypothesis location pole change. So saying that the poles changed, they used to be on true magnetic north, therefore there were energy properties, but as the crust and the poles shifted, therefore the ley lines, whether or not they're make-believe, or those energy currents did as well.
I was really hoping I was just going to be some villainous man, or I'd like to believe that it's just some villain just harnessing all the power for himself.
We just got to build ourselves some sort of obelisk on true north and get it to some celestial body. So that's pretty much it. There's not a lot to this. I just want to touch on the term ley lines because it pops up in so many of our topics of like this ancient structure is like on a ley line, it's near ley lines, but that's essentially what it is. It's a grid made up by some guy where he just drew dots and lines to every single ancient thing, but there's no
just all a hypothesis.
Yes, but there is something interesting still about the locations of these ancient places, which we will do a deeper dive into at some point. I just kind of wanted to touch on ley lines quickly. So just a shorty for you guys, but ley lines, you're not crazy because they're not real. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. If you want more entertainment out there, check out the whole Majestic Jam Network, Urban Hermit, Cult Classics Podcast. And until next time.
Bye.